T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We're not in a position where we have to do anything. I think you want to always avoid being put in a corner where you have to make a deal and your back's against the wall and you're going to take any deal that's out there. We're not at all in that position. But, you know, looking at the longer time horizon of the next 2 years, I think it would be wise at some point to, do something that, looks out a little bit more for the long term and a little bit less for the short term. But that doesn't have to happen now. And we're not in a position where we have to move anybody.
Middays on the Score.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner. Nobody puts Theo in a corner. They want to be able to dictate what they do here as they smooth out the transition.
Yay.
To something. Hooray. We got things going on in baseball, and here to talk about all of it is Sahadev Sharma. He is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. First and foremost, the breaking news, Bob Nightingale says it's going to be Dusty Baker at the helm of the Astros. What say you?
Yeah, I honestly guess I'm not shocked. I'm a little surprised. Ken Rosenthal kind of wrote yesterday that it seemed like it was coming down to Dusty, Showalter, and Brad Ausmus. I kind of had a feeling they may go Brad Ausmus, go with the guy that's familiar with the, you know, new age statistics, spend some time in a front office, all that stuff. But obviously it's an odd situation that the Astros have going on there. And, you know, if you're trying to get some respectability back and then gain the trust of the public again, Dusty's the perfect face of that team to do that.
Do we have any sense of who's making that decision? Dan and I were just talking as we found out the news, and I kind of posited that it's likely Jim Crane making that call.
I would have to guess that's the case. I don't have any information on that to be certain, but yes, obviously it's who's doing the hiring and then who will be the next GM, how that all works. It almost seems like, I guess you kind of have to get the manager done first with the spring training creeping up on us, but it isn't a perfect scenario by any means.
So the Cubs are picking around the bargain bins right now. They place a bet on Steven Souza coming back from a really nasty knee injury. He had 30 home runs in a season a couple of years ago. Similarly, Scooter Jeanette, he was a 4.5 win player in 2018 and just absolute garbage last year. I believe he was underwater half a win with a WRC plus run of 44. I mean, really, really bad news. What are they trying to accomplish here as they fill out the rest of the Major League roster?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the money, or they're not spending the money that it takes to get players.
Thank you for correcting yourself there. They have the money. They don't want to spend it.
Exactly. They're not spending that money to go get those guys with the floor of, you know, this is a X number win player. These guys are highly volatile. Look at every position all around, you know. Solid starters in a lot of these positions, but it wasn't like Theo was hiding the ball here. He admitted. Well, I straight up asked him, like, how do you go into a season with a roster like this and that came off 84 wins and don't make any changes? And he said, listen, there's a lot of potential here, but there's a ton of risk. And it's clear every single move that they make is a risky move in the sense that Scooter Jeanette could be, if Scooter Jeanette is brought in, that's a guy that could provide zero value, or he could, get back to that person that hits 30 home runs and is a wildly productive offensive player. So you can say that about Souza. You can say that about a lot of guys at the batted. And that's the position they put themselves in.
Do you think that if the Bryant grievance had come down 3 weeks ago, decision one way or another, that they would have been bigger players for Nick Castellanos, given what he meant to that team so much last season?
I don't know. It's really hard to answer that because I don't know if they make a trade just because the grievance is taken care of. it's almost impossible to know if they would have been able to pull something off, because look at how long it just took to pull off a Starling Marte trade. You know, I think the whole trade market kind of got delayed, and it's not just the grievance that's affecting this. The free agent market lasted a little bit longer than anyone expected, with Donaldson kind of lingering there, and that held things up. I wouldn't say that's a guarantee by any means.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked Jed Hoyer about Craig Kimbrell, and I continue to think about him because of the contract, because of his significance to this team. And mm-hmm. and Jed was pretty straight up about not knowing, being able to tell the difference between a blip and actual deterioration. I don't know what they know that they won't say, but I would love to know how they're monitoring this offseason and this ramp up to avoid the issues that he had last year, or if maybe he was tipping, or if there's just something up that they can find in the lab.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be looking for other reasons other than no spring training, no ramp up, no normal ramp up to the season starting in June, all that stuff. Obviously, they believe that had an impact, but you're right, there's no way to know the impact in other ways. What else impacted his poor performance, and if these things can linger, whatever it was, mechanically, physically, what can they adjust? I think they are in the process of trying to figure all that stuff, and they're keeping tabs on it. I think the public will have a better idea of what exactly is going on or what happened once we get to spring training and we're able to kind of dig into that. We have some face-to-face time. Not saying that Kimbrell's going to be an open book suddenly and tell us every detail about the offseason, but there are ways to find these things out, and I think we'll have a little clearer picture of what his offseason was once we have some media out there in Arizona and have some time to chat with people one-on-one and get an idea of what his offseason was. But you're right, it's not just about missing spring training. You have to be sure that you're taking every angle on this.
So a lot of people have, with the signing of Nick Castellanos to the Reds and then the Pirates ditching Starling Marte over to the Diamondbacks, you know, it's kind of easy to go, oh, the Cubs are maybe the third most talented team in that division now, and you got to worry. The Pirates are horrible, and that's fair, but I don't know. Does a smart guy like yourself start to put that division in order yet, knowing that the Cubs are going to try very hard to shed salary, and that likely means a very big name?
Yeah, I the very early projections for me have them third right now. I liked the Reds last year. I thought the Reds underperformed their talent level, and I think they've only improved talent wise, and a little more luck goes their way. I think that's going to be a dangerous team. And the Cardinals are just good and young, and they have a lot to work with as well. They could probably stand to make another move, but those are two really talented teams. I think the Cubs are better than the Brewers, but I've said that for 2 years, mm-hmm. over 2 years now, and the Brewers have finished ahead of them. So, you know, I think a lot of people have missed the Brewers are able to find value somewhere that it doesn't add up on paper when you look at it. And I think that's kind of what the Cubs are wondering, what they're missing. How come our team looks so good on paper and we can't get the results that we should be getting with this much talent?
So what's at stake in the first half of the season up to the trading deadline? You know, I think if we really look at how this plays out practically, this could be an in or out season where they could look at it, you know, rather than what they did last year of these stamps of validation, of spending on Kimbrell, of going and trading for Castellanos, that they, if things don't really start to sizzle, they could go hard the other direction and say that we're going to use this as our smoothing out transitional year by completely restocking and just pulling the pin on it. Is that on the table?
Yeah, 100% it is. If you listen to Theo Epstein, he's basically suggested that he hasn't had the chance to reset this group mid-season, and I think he believes being able to do that would have put him in a better position now, whether it was last year or the year before. He's basically said, man, I wish September would have happened in July the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because then he could have made, those difficult decisions would have been easy. There were pieces to sell, quality players that he could have moved on from and kind of restock the system. And maybe we'd be talking about 2020 and this organization completely differently. So timing kind of has bit him in that sense.
Yeah, you know, that really does. When you think about it, it's weird to say, but the teases, like the getting that close and just sort of running out of gas at the finish line is the worst possible thing to happen, that they pour all these resources. They've leaked so much oil that it's been really hard for them to rebuild the engine.
Yep. And I think if you're talking about a team that's, you know, hanging around but not really giving them much optimism that it's going to go deeper than hanging around, you may see some sell-off type moves. I'm not talking about getting rid of everyone, but, you know, you could. I mean, obviously, Bryant, if he's still around, will be on the table. Contreras could be on the table. Kimbrel would make a lot of sense. I wrote about this as something that, you know, I wrote 10 predictions that were kind of like, you know, I don't like predicting stuff because it's a fool's errand, but it could make a lot of sense if they're out of it at the deadline and Kimbrel's bounced back. That's the exact type of guy that you'd see Theo Epstein want to shop. Relievers have really high value at the deadline. If he's pitching like Craig Kimbrel, imagine a team that's, you know, just missing that dominant closer, how much they may pay for him. That's exact, and the payroll aspect of it as well. Theo Epstein's never really invested that much as he is right now with Kimbrel in a closer. If you're a team that's not competing, even if you're looking at 2021, that makes a ton of sense to move a guy like Kimbrel if he's performing up to his capabilities.
You know, talking about these timelines and kind of looking back and playing revisionist history, I wonder if, even if you took the names out of it, right, and you just had player cards, you just had like Strat-O-Matic cards where you struck out the name, I wonder if Theo regrets the run they went on before, not that it was a big run, but the little run they went on before they traded for Jose Quintana.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could look at that that summer in a lot of ways, and they certainly, if that run didn't happen, I think there was a run right after getting Quintana too.
Yeah, five or six games, yeah.
Yeah, that really pushed them back into the conversation and helped them get back to the team that they looked like in 2016. I mean, you're talking about then having Wade Davis available, and I think Jake Arrieta was the year that he was about to leave as a free agent. So there were a lot of different ways you can look at this and kind of say if this had gone differently and now you're talking about a team that doesn't make three straight NLCS, all those different things. So how do you look at this? How differently would the organization look? It's easy to revise and with hindsight and say this team could look very differently if they were out of it before deadlines instead of collapsing in September. Although I feel like 2017, it's kind of worth it. You know, when you make it that deep in the postseason, no matter what, it still feels worth it to me.
I'm with you. I think given the move at the time, I think it was the right thing to do. I think both things can be true. If you look back through revisionist history, the long term of it, because that's how baseball plays out, the long term of it you might double back on. The big thing, obviously, for the Cubs is the grievance for Chris Bryant, and no one seems to know why it's taking so long. But I wonder, and maybe the answer is no, we just don't know this yet. I wonder, though, do you have an expectation that once you get a ruling, once we all understand what was going on here, that the arbitrator will say, by the way, here's what took so long? Are we going to get details of the case, or is it just going to be an up or down?
I don't know. I don't have an expectation that we'll get an explanation. I feel like the explanation is this is a serious matter and there's no timeline. This person isn't working on our timeline, right? This person isn't working on the off-season timeline, and he's going, I'm sure he has other things on his table. I think there's a lot of ins and outs to this. I assume that there's, this has less to do about baseball and more to do about whatever this guy's particular process is in figuring out how to make a ruling on this. I don't have an expectation to get an explanation of why this took so long, and maybe we will be, and it'll make sense, but or we'll all be up in arms like that's why it took so long. But either way, I'm not sure if we'll ever find out.
Speaking of explanations, did I read this right that umpires now are going to be mic'd up like NFL officials and will be able to explain their calls or applications of rules?
Yeah, I think it has to do, if if what I read is right, it has to do with explaining why a call wasn't overturned or was overturned. So it's only going to be on replay if I read that correctly, which I think makes sense because sometimes I know even in the press box, we'll be sitting there and we're like, I have no clue what we just wasted 5 minutes over. Nobody knows what just happened, why that happened. There was no explanation. And then sometimes later on in the game, we'll get an explanation from PR. They'll have figured it out and communicated with someone in the dugout. But I think it's helpful. I'm not sure if it's game changing. Maybe it'll entertain us in the sense that these guys will be mic'd up and we'll have good like sound bites and stuff like that. But maybe I'm not seeing a bigger picture here as far as why this will be really impactful, but I think it'll be helpful.
Sahadev, great stuff, man. Thanks, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
That is Sahadev Sharma from the Cubs beat. When we come back, I have a case of what you should never, ever say when asked a certain question.
Okay.
This is a life lesson that a certain football coach has just learned. When asked a certain question, never, ever, ever give this answer.
PR advice from Dan Bernstein. And it's stuff you're going to want to write down. It's Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Saturday when they host Purdue at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I don't offer a ton of valuable life advice.
All right.
Every once in a while, there's something that's got that big flashing light and just a reminder to people. And you can learn this from this story. And it comes to us from Grand Valley State University, which is a relatively prominent football program in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, west of Grand Rapids.
Yes, it's a major football program. They're always ranked in their division level 15, is division, whatever it is. Grand Valley State University has suspended offensive coordinator Morris Berger. And it was just 7 days after announcing his hire.
Seven. What did Morris do?
Well, Morris did an interview after he was hired. Okay,
not the job interview.
No, he was interviewed by the university's student newspaper, The Lanthorn, on January 23rd.
Should be a layup.
Right? It's the student newspaper.
Not that they don't have intrepid journalists there at the, what was it again?
The Lanthorn.
The Lanthorn.
Or Lanthorn.
I'm sure they do.
Berger was asked which three historical figures he would most like to dine with.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's got to be a football coach in there.
Historical figures, right. So you'd think Jesus,
like world leader of some kind,
and Vince Lombardi or something.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Nope, it's not what he said. Because his very first answer, I'm gonna read this.
Okay.
Quote: "This is probably not going to get a good review."
Wait, he said this, that?
He led with that.
Come on.
He led with, "This is probably not going to get a good review," said Morris Berger.
So stop talking, Morris Berger.
Morris, shut it down, man. But he didn't. He didn't shut it down. He said, "I'm going to say Adolf Hitler."
No! Come on!
Now wait, but there's more.
Come on! Dude!
Morris Berger went on.
Of course he did.
It was obviously very sad. Yeah, like the Holocaust.
Like what? Right. His death? Right. Like at this point, Morris, I got to wonder what you think is sad.
Very sad.
Yada, yada,
yes, yeah. You know, yada, yada.
Oh my
millions and millions killed. It was obviously very sad, and he had bad motives, but, but the way he was able to lead was second to none. Morris is not done.
You know, fear and death and methamphetamines are great motivators for people.
There's more. Morris continues.
Of course he did.
How he rallied a group and a following.
Oh, my.
I want to know how he did that.
Morris.
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 Morris, you got to stop, man. But no, Morris didn't stop. There's more. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he wasn't a great leader.
Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Morris Berger, and he has yet to be fired. He's still suspended.
How is he not fired?
I don't know. So this is the...
He just defended Hitler three times in a statement after he began the statement by saying, this is going to rankle some feathers.
Yeah, this is... People aren't going to like this. However...
Ain't nobody going to dig this, but here's what you need to know.
My column. The comments made by offensive coordinator Morris Berger, as reported in the Lanthorn student newspaper, do not reflect the values of Grand Valley State University. Berger has been suspended, and the university is conducting a thorough investigation. What are you investigating?
We're trying to find the answers Morris was looking for about Hitler. We don't know how he led either.
What investigation? What more do you need to know?
The other two names, maybe?
Yeah. The Idi Amin.
Yeah. That's,
and Cthulhu.
Oh, my God.
He wanted Gandhi there so he could eat off his plate.
Pol Pot and Idi Amin.
Oh, my God. Well, I need to know.
I mean, it's one thing for Ozzie Guillen to have said that line about Fidel Castro. You know, he's still in power. You got to give it to him. You know, just sort of a flippant line. I mean, this guy's got the full treatise here about the greatness of Adolf Hitler, and you can't figure out whether or not to fire his dumbass?
I need to know what the student journalist did. Like, does this kid, as soon as he gets or she gets the quote, go, okay, coach, we're good here. I don't need to know what the other two are. Thank you so much for your time. And like sprints back across the quad, knowing they've got their career right there. I am good to go.
This is hilarious. The textures, when I take this back a few minutes, they're saying things like, I was driving around saying, don't say Hitler. Don't say Hitler. Don't say Hitler. Yeah, well, it's true. If you're conducting the interview, how do you not blurt out, are you sure?
Jeez.
Coach, you sure you want to go with Hitler?
Oh yeah.
You know, that's the first guy I'm having over.
Listen, young blood, sit down. Let me tell you a couple of things about Hitler. I don't know how he did it, but I appreciate what. Are you kidding me?
Look at the leadership. Oh, that's serious leadership right there. Look at that.
How does that, like, does Grand Valley State now have to ask that question of their coaches when they have the interview process? Listen, I know this is going to sound completely strange and not at all about the spread or the air raid that you're going to bring here to good old Grand Valley State, but what three historical leaders would you like to have dinner with? Please don't say Hitler.
Whatever it is, other than Hitler, it's like you spot him R-S-T-L-N, and it's like obviously you're going to say Hitler.
Right.
But beyond that.
Please don't.
I mean, the 847 says this guy's somehow aware enough to understand that people wouldn't like the answer, but not aware enough to know to not give it.
What?
The 847. I'd like to ask Vlad the Impaler, how'd you do all that? All the impaling, all the heads on the pipe. And seriously, you're right. Like, the student journalist got to be like,
I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. And mom and dad thought journalism was a rough career.
Right? I mean, that's great practice in keeping a straight face.
Right? Like, okay.
Can we find the student journalist? Like, do they want to come on and just talk about what the hell happened?
That'd be really good.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, like, 309 says 2 and 3 were Slobodan Milosevic and Nickelback.
Look, this isn't going to be popular, but a lot of people thought Chad Kroeger was a stunning vocalist, all right? That's just what he was. How do you not stop yourself?
Listen, people aren't going to like this. But give me a second.
No, you know
hold
what
my
is?
Beer.
You know what my favorite part is? You know what my favorite part of old Morris Berger here is that he cites like three different instances of his apparently adoration of Hitler's leadership qualities and then says to the student journalist, I don't know how he did it.
I don't know how he did it.
Really? Really, Morris? Like, you've been interested in this guy's... I'm pretty sure he's not just interested in his leadership qualities, but you've been interested in this guy for a long time, but never bothered to read a damn thing about him.
And apparently, he's a history major.
Morris Berger?
Morris Berger.
I don't think Morris showed up to a lot of classes.
Morris. Morris.
I don't think Morris showed up.
History.
Yes, I think you were taught poorly. How did he do it? How could he possibly have done it?
Well, is his degree from an uncredited institution in Argentina? Like, is that where he learned history?
Drury University? Never heard of it.
Is it in Argentina?
I don't know.
Did some people come over and teach classes after they'd left after a certain sociopolitical upheaval in their home country?
Now, apparently, the Lanthorn had taken that part out of the initial story. So after its initial publication, the final two responses were mistakenly removed from the story, and they had to reset it to its original version. He said, the question was, you graduated from Drury with a degree in history. You're a history guy. If you could have dinner with three historical figures, living or dead, who would they be? And I'm ruling out football figures.
Okay.
So the question began because of his history degree. It's like, well, look, I know history. Hitler. Clearly Hitler. I know all this.
I know history.
But did he think
that was like the hipster response or something?
I know history well enough to know that you're not going to like this answer, but not well enough to know that it's going to get me fired.
And maybe not allow me to ever work anywhere again.
I'm going to be flipping burgers for the rest of my life. I'll never coach again. This is the end of me, but Hitler.
You really want to know? All right. Let's be real here.
I got a wife. I got kids. I have wonderful health insurance. This job is going to set me up for a career in the NFL, but Hitler. It's got to be Hitler. Right. I would love to share
I've got
a
no choice. I got
Hitler. I got to go with it.
No, wasn't Hitler a vegetarian?
I don't. What? He. Share it? You couldn't share? I don't know. Was Hitler a vegetarian?
I think he was.
You know, I got to read about him. I didn't know much about him.
I'm pretty sure he's not having the
same classes that Morris Berger did.
Not having a schnitzel with
I'm
you.
Not sure about the eating habits of one Hitler.
That was his whole course.
I know meth. I know meth was very popular for Hitler late in the war.
This is just. This is great. Like, what is he? His wife has got to just be like standing at the door with a rolling pin in her hand. Like,
either that or saying, "Way to stick to it, baby."
Yeah. Hey, way to double down.
Way to not back down.
Yeah, hey, you're. This is why I love you. You know, we move here, you get the new job, we move the kids, and you give them Hitler. All right, great.
There's got to be some small college in, like, central Indiana or something.
Like, was it a day where he was really tired of all the interviews coming down from Grand Rapids? Like, the beat writers that all come through, and finally he gets the student journalist in, and he thinks, okay, finally, here we go. I can just say what I need to say. You wore me down.
Yeah. God, this interrogation must come to an end. You finally got it out of me. Yeah, you're right. Fine, Hitler.
You can't even say that this they broke me down with a line of questioning. The kid did his research and asked a good question, and the guy off the top of his head first, Hitler.
Oh, and here come the texters asking what he said wrong. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
No, not plural. That's got to be one texter, and it's got to be tongue-in-cheek. That is not a thing.
No, it is not, and block texter. Okay.
Yeah,
I think that.
Oh, my God. That's real dumb.
Giving up the old texting privileges on that one. You have forfeited your texting privileges.
Was it Berger? Was he texting now? Hey, it's just Morris from Grand Valley. I want to know what he did wrong.
I'm surprised nobody's called in like that and actually slightly disappointed because now we have caller ID.
That's true. We do. Well, we've always had it. It just now pops up now. It's always been logged somewhere, I was told, in records somewhere. Okay. But now when people call in.
I think you were
lied to. Now when people call in, it's like, if you're calling from work, we know you're calling from work.
I'm sorry. I can't. A man who was hired to coach and teach kids without much hip check at all was asked what historical figures he'd most like to have dinner with, and he came up with Hitler first.
First.
I can't. This is not going to leave my mind as right? Stunning.
All right. We've got stuff we got to do in the midday midway. We've got a follow-up to a very important news story.
This
and
is crucial.
And it may lead to some activism on our part.
Oh, I think it will. Activism and
charity.
And maybe a search, too, once we head down south in a couple of months.
That's right.
You know, I mean, maybe for us it could be a little bit of a, you know, not Joshua Tree or anything, but kind of searching the soul, getting back to our roots.
Like a vision quest kind of thing?
A little bit, yeah.
Take peyote and
a pilgrimage.
And you fall down?
It doesn't take just peyote. The Midday Midway is on the way, and you're going to love it. Burns and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Now time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is umpire. Text umpire to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is umpire to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entered from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. All right. I guess we have this in its entirety.
We do.
We have local television news. They've captured Penis Man.
New at 6, an arrest is made in a bizarre vandalism spree in the Valley. Police say the man they arrested admitted to spray painting graffiti at more than a dozen locations. Fox 10's Nicole Garcia has more tonight.
Dustin Schomer now facing 25 criminal counts, a couple of them felonies, for allegedly admitting to spray painting a vulgar nickname that
Penis
alludes
man.
To a male body part on several buildings around Tempe and Phoenix. Tempe police took him into custody. He spent some time here at the 4th Avenue jail, and after he got out, he took to social media to complain about his experience. I spoke with his neighbors who shake their head in pity.
We've seen vandalism like spray painting on the walls.
This neighbor who lives across from 38-year-old Dustin Schomer has seen graffiti in the complex, similar to the vulgar phrase spray painted across Tempe.
Penis
Court
man.
Records indicate Schomer admitted to spray painting the phrase
penis
at
man.
Nearly two dozen locations, including the ASU Tempe campus, Tempe City Hall, and even on A Mountain.
Seriously, like, grow up. No. We're adults. Behave like an adult.
Her surveillance cameras captured a handful of officers and a police canine showing up to take Schomer into custody. After he bailed out of jail, Schomer took to a public Facebook group to complain about his arrest, saying in part, quote, "They raided my condo and vehicle and swarmed my entire complex in West Phoenix with 25 heavily armed SWAT officers and pointed a silenced assault rifle in my face," unquote.
What? I think you need to suck it up and be an adult about it.
Cell phone video shows a less dramatic scene of police leading Schomer away in handcuffs.
I think they know what they're doing and how they handled the situation fine. Nobody got hurt. He's not hurt. None of our neighbors are hurt. So the police knows what they're doing.
Now Schomer is asking for money. He set up a fundraiser seeking donations to pay for his legal fees. Neighbors just shake their heads.
If he did it, then he admits to it, then pay for it. Shouldn't come out of other people's pockets.
And this isn't the first time Schomer's been arrested and spent time in jail. He was arrested in 2018 for marijuana possession.
Oh, the audacity.
What the hell?
This guy likes to get high and spray paint penis man?
Penis man.
Then you got to send the whole SWAT team after him and make sure you take him down at gunpoint. How did they find the most Karenist Karen of his neighbors to interview?
Right?
What the hell?
Nobody got hurt. No one ever got hurt in this whole thing. So, and here's what he said specifically. This is what Dustin Schomer said. He said, "They raided my condo. They swarmed my complex. They pointed a silenced assault rifle in my face. Anyone with any doubt who the bad guys are here, be certain it's the city of Tempe, the city of Phoenix, police force valley-wide. There's no excuse for pointing an AR-15 in the face of a nonviolent offender." Said he spent a night at Maricopa County's 4th Avenue Jail.
Well, yeah, but you
more than
jaywalking.
5 hours in Tempe police custody. Said, "I was told I wouldn't receive medical attention after requesting it, even though it was posted on the wall to ask if desired. So I was having a panic attack because they put an effing assault rifle in my face."
Yeah,
that's illegal, both denying medical attention and excessive force. Here's also what he wrote.
Penis man.
He said, "For the record, I hate the institution of the police, but I don't think every single cop is a bastard. To say they all are is, in my opinion, stooping to their level of profiling. Some of the detectives I met seem to be genuine penis man fans."
Penis man.
I put a link to his GoFundMe on our Twitter account. So if you'd like to help Penis Man pay his legal fees, you can do that.
He said,
"Penis man."
He said, "Penis man is neither a man nor woman, you nor me. We are all penis man."
Also, don't Google search penis man.
No, don't do that.
I did.
And Evan Fournier.
It does not come out the way you'd hope.
Anyway.
Yeah, but so is it our responsibility to help defray this guy's legal costs? I mean, is that just the right thing to
Look,
do?
This isn't going to be popular, but I'm going to tell you, donate to the legal fee. Why not? This guy got an assault rifle shoved in his face for spraying some funny graffiti in places.
Come on.
This is a bunch of nonsense. Yeah, I think you should probably be responsible for cleaning it up. It's graffiti, so clean it up. You got caught. But a 25-person SWAT team, Baron, like, did they not have anything else to do that day?
It's did Maricopa County.
They cancel the training exercise.
Joe Arpaio, right?
Well, no, he's gone. But they cancel the training exercise that day, and we're like, all right, we're going to go take down Penis Man. He's
all right,
number
Penis
one.
Man. I have retweeted it if you want to help Penis Man pay his legal fees. The link to his GoFundMe page has been sent out.
Oh, thank God.
Let's just see where we are here. He is currently...
And what's he looking for?
He's got a goal of $10,000, and he's currently at 2,498 with 128 people.
Okay.
He said,
"Bad news for Penis Man."
He said,
"I'm going to get to 10.
I'm broke. I've lost my job. I need help with legal fees to defend myself against the Tempe PD. I've got bad PTSD. I had an AR-15 in my face 2 days ago. That bleep was real scary. Thanks so much."
Look, I like the picture that I posted on the tweet. Has Penis Man sprayed on a garbage can? but also circled in red in case you didn't see it.
By the way, this is that, what we're talking there, about here.
It's that graffiti
penis
there.
Man.
I don't know what else is he up to. I don't know anything about the guy other than there's no way he should have been arrested the way he was and taken down the way he was for spray painting penis man. But if he can't get a job for that arrest or being arrested for marijuana, and yet Morris Berger unequivocally giving you Hitler as a historical figure who he admired the leadership of and would really like to have dinner with, that guy gets suspended and investigated to just make sure he really meant what he said. And, are you kidding?
And also in part of the interview with Morris Berger, he was asked, how have you and your family been adjusting to you living in Allendale? And he says, good. I just have a girlfriend. She'll be here around the middle of February.
I don't think she's coming.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think she'll need to go there anyway.
I think you're probably going back to wherever she is. If you're going to have a job somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. By the way, fabulous job texting on the Morris Berger Grand Valley State.
Oh, just
story.
Some really solid
texting
stuff.
Texting just been absolutely brilliant.
I think my favorite was from that. I think it was a 708. I was wondering, because Morris Berger was the offensive coordinator for a brief number of days at Grand Valley State. So the idea was it's Blitzkrieg on two. Like, that's the play.
All right. One other note here, and this is something to be ready for. And again, we're back in Phoenix on this. There is now an Atari hotel. Atari has a themed hotel that is coming to Phoenix. It is completely video game themed. Phoenix is the only location, but there are plans to build Atari hotels in Las Vegas, Denver, Austin, Seattle, San Francisco, and Chicago.
Huh.
We will be getting an Atari hotel. It's a unique vacation experience that combines lodging with one-of-a-kind video game themed destination retro favorites, as well as modern touches, fully immersive experiences for every age and gaming ability, the latest in virtual and augmented reality, an esports studio, an Atari gaming playground, meeting and event rooms, co-working spaces, restaurants, bars, a bakery, movie theater, and gym. And they mention the classics here. They are talking about Pong, Centipede, Asteroids. I imagine some of the Atari 2600 aspects in every room. So be on the lookout for the plans for the Atari Hotel Chicago.
Did you know that Atari is still they're in it? They're still a company?
I didn't.
I'm looking at the site now. They're in on, gambling stuff. They've got casinos. They've got, I wonder if they're like...
One of the great logos, too.
Oh, of all time. I wonder if they're like Major League Baseball Advanced Media, in that they've kind of gone into the programming side of things and have reached their tentacles into, apps and development and all that kind of stuff, coding.
One of the more underrated computers / video consoles was the Atari 800. I don't know if you I'm certain don't remember the Atari 800.
I know that I played an Atari when I was young growing up.
Well, Atari 2600 is just a video game console. The Atari 800 was an actual computer, and there was a floppy disk drive, and you could do basic
penis
programming. But my cousin had the Atari 800, my friend Andy had the Atari 800, and there were some games on that, some cartridge games. It was not Star Chasers. Why can't I remember it? Like a Star Wars style first-person shooter space star. Oh, God darn it.
His name is Lawrence Chesterton.
This is going to kill me. Not Star Raiders? Oh, it was
Star
such a...
Crunch.
Is it pizza rolls? Oh, no. I think it was Star Raiders, and there was a cartridge game in the Atari 800. Just a phenomenal system. If they have that, I would just be in my cups.
Star Raiders is correct.
Star Raiders, Atari 800.
By the way, Atari is producing a lot of iOS games and casino games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They've got like a home entertainment and gaming system. It's like it looks like it kind of operates like a Pi Raspberry, that kind of thing. Like this open source sort of codable emulator sort of system. It looks cool too.
Open source or open sore?
Source.
Oh, okay.
Why would open sore be a thing?
That's what I thought you said. I wasn't sure. Anyway, that is the Midday Midway, and we do it most days around 10:40. Let's talk football. It's Super Bowl week. There are Bears rumors that are out there, and Kevin Fishbane has all the answers to our questions and concerns. He's going to join us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.